Now joining us today to discuss this topic and others are our roundtable panelists. Callie Crossley, social-cultural commentator on the television show Beat the Press in Boston. She joins us from the studios at Harvard University. At our New York bureau is Pedro Noguera, professor at the Steinhardt School of Education at New York University. Plus, George Curry, editor-in-chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association News Service, is in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for joining me, and Callie, let me start with you. What are the implications of this NSA move? Is this going to cause a shift in the opinion on things like the Patriot Act?
I think absolutely. But I think also that we have to be aware that any time that the president comes out and says, yeah, I did it, and but I did it because of Al-Qaeda and I did it because of terrorism, that he's throwing red meat in front of congressional hawks. And so what we've had initially as a response is, look, it's got to be legal. It's within the bounds because we gave him the authority to wage war on these terrorists. I mean, we're in a different, that's the word we keep hearing, a unique kind of battle. We have to use different kinds of tools. Sometimes we have to stretch beyond where we've been. So I think those folks are going to absolutely stand up for that. But also what I worry about, that if you hear the words terrorism and Al-Qaeda and the way that they've been used by this administration, it stirs fear in ordinary Americans who say, I just want to be safe. I just want to be safe. So if it means, okay, maybe it looks like he stepped outside his bounds, I'm willing to go with that. And that's what we're really talking about here. I think as long as there can be a case made, not only for the folks who have all along, and particularly black folks, we know about being surveilled, make the case that this is the kind of key element, surveying a government, surveying its own citizens, that's a part of the Iraq that we said we don't want to have, we don't want to support. That's the reason we're supposed to be over there upholding freedom, is to get rid of this kind of stuff. And yet we have an administration that now has said, yeah, I did it, and I think I did it for a good cause. I am appalled and shocked, and I'm hoping that people get beyond the politics and understand that this is very serious business for all of us as American citizens.
Pedro, what recourse does the American public have when we hear about a case like this where the government is breaking its own laws?
Well, I think largely it's political. I think that we have to make it an issue in the next election. Given the large number of people now who are held in custody, who have not been charged, given the fact that one of those major cases in Florida involving the Palestinian professor was recently ruled that the charges were invalid and he was set free, there's good reason to be concerned that the government is overstretched, that they played to our fears, as the previous speaker pointed out, that they have violated our rights and continue to do so. And I think it has to be made a political issue, and when possible, that there have to be legal charges filed against the administration for violation of civil liberties.
George, go ahead.
This is one of those issues that unites both the left and the right. We've seen some odd coalition. We've seen it earlier on the Patriot Act itself. People are concerned about the violation of their privacy. They are not worried about the administration having authority. The United States has plenty of authority. They have these special courts. They meet in secret, that they'll never get turned down when they request warrants. It's already set up specifically for examples like this. And to go in and say, I'm going to decide when I want to execute a warrant without any judicial review, is what people object to.
Let's move on to another topic, because we have covered a little bit about the whole NSA with Professor David Cole. Iran. The U.S. is looking for ways to handle Iran while trying to get diplomatic support for isolating it. They can still consider this Islamic regime part of the axis of evil. The U.S. has dubbed Iran the world's worst state sponsor of terrorism. And now there's a question in Iran about the Holocaust. The leader of the country says the Holocaust didn't happen. So does that statement change the state of play in the international community on Iran? Pedro.
Perhaps because now the Europeans will be less likely to oppose sanctions against Iran. But I think we have to be clear here. The United States' options with respect to Iran are fairly limited because it's preoccupied with Iraq. It cannot take on another military confrontation at this time. So we're really looking at a political set of strategies for dealing with Iran. And even there, the options are fairly limited. We have to work with Western Europe to figure out an approach that's going to be effective. And ultimately, we have to work with other Middle Eastern nations to figure out how to approach Iran. The real question is, what kind of government will come into power in Iraq, and how close will they be to Iran? And the fact is that many of the Shiite parties are very closely allied with the governments in Iran. So I think we could be seeing a much bigger problem in the near future.
Kelly?
I think that this is a case for some covert action, if you will. And by that I mean covert diplomatic action. Take this stuff off the front page, and this is what folks who are knowledgeable about this should be doing. Meeting with whomever they can on the global front to talk to these folks in Iran, because you cannot just not talk to them. I mean, you're going to have to have some conversation. They're too important in the region. But I think if you get it off the front page so that there's not this parry and thrust, I said this, now you said this, and now we're not talking to you, and now we're not going to do this, then maybe something can happen. But I agree with Pedro. There are very limited kinds of responses, but you've got to keep some kind of channel of communications open.
And there are, in fact, all sorts of back channels of communication. At one point, I don't know if it's still the case, Switzerland was a clearinghouse for an intersection with Cuba. We don't have diplomatic relations with Cuba, but you can send a message through Switzerland.
Exactly.
George, what about Kelly's idea of keeping the back channels open?
Well, look, let's talk about the front channels first. People have said all along that if you're going to go after anybody, you would go after Iran before you go after Iraq. I mean, say they're the worst sponsors of state terrorism. I mean, people already knew that all along, and that's why people are really confounded by Bush's decision to pick Iraq over Iran if you're going to go after somebody. But we've already have sanctions in place. We're working with our allies in Europe. It's not a whole lot more we can do, I don't think, and certainly where we are now militarily, we can't really do a whole lot with Iran.
Now, George, I know you're going to love this topic, Morgan Freeman and the concept of Black History Month as ridiculous. Let's listen to a little bit of what he had to say.
Black History Month you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
That's Morgan Freeman last night on CBS's 60 Minutes. George, what do you think?
Well, I saw that, and I think he misses the point. First of all, you just don't have Black History Month. You have Latinos, Asian, Native American, all celebrate their history. And the whole reason they do that in the first place is because they are excluded from the American history. I mean, what month is White History Month? All 12, you know that. So I think it takes this special emphasis because we are not getting our history integrated into the text. They're doing a better job now, but still a long way to go, and that's the whole purpose, and I think he misses the point.
Pedro, you're Afro-Latino. You've got 2 months to celebrate in at least. Do you approve of this concept? Do you think it's still relevant?
Well, I think that Morgan Freeman is raising an important point, although I agree with George that we have to remember why the month was created in the first place, and that's because of the historic exclusion of Black history. But the fact is that what we should be moving toward is the inclusion of Black and Native American and Latino history throughout the year, because that's American history, and that we should challenge the efforts to render invisible and to stifle any discussion of the contributions and of the atrocities that have been committed throughout history in this country against various peoples of color. So I think he's raising an important point. Whether or not the way to approach it is to abolish Black history, I don't know if that's necessarily the way to go at this time, but I think the idea of having a more inclusive approach makes far more sense.
Kelly, if Black History Month disappeared, what would happen to all those ad sponsorships in Black magazines? What about the free shrimp at the Black History Month buffet? Where would we be?
Yeah. Well, that certainly would go away, but I think the larger issue is just an opportunity to pause and reflect on the contributions of African Americans in this country. And remember, it began with a day, then it went to a week, then it went to a month. One only hopes that it eventually comes to an integration into all of the history books that are out there. And I think we've moved toward that. I mean, there's a lot of scholarship out there that just would not have been supported in a very serious way, while there may be the parties. Some scholarship has been supported as a result of some focus on this history that was not taught in schools across the board. But I think what I
In fact, Philadelphia
say,
is now saying that all students have to take Black history.
There you go. One of the things that worries me about celebrities, and I have a great deal of respect for Morgan Freeman, and I know where he was going, but I think they have to be so careful to understand that when they make a statement like that, it's then thrown out there and used in a way to go against the very effort that I think that he would support, which is that there people, everybody should be learning this. My history should be celebrated. You should understand that across the board. But it gets twisted in the other way, and it's just kind of distressing in that manner.
Pedro, you're a professor. What role can the university play in integrating different ethnic histories, women's history, et cetera, into mainstream curricula?
Well, we have to make sure, first of all, that Black faculty are not limited to Afro-American studies departments. Black faculty should be in every department because we contribute to English literature, to science, to the social sciences. So we need to move away from this idea that Black history or Black contributions have to be in one set, separate departments where they can be easily marginalized and dismissed. We have to ensure that we are fully integrated and included throughout the university curriculum and throughout course syllabus, that students are reading works written by Black authors and scholars, and that's, I think, the approach that we need. That's what Morgan Freeman should have spoken about yesterday, not eliminating Black History Month.
And George, you get the final word. You're working, obviously, with a consortium of African-American newspapers who are going to focus on Black history every month of the year. How can you also get white-owned media to do a fair job of integrating Black history into the year-round process?
Well, I don't know if it can. I've been in journalism 35 years and almost half that time in white-owned media, and I've been really disappointed. Have we made progress? Sure, we've made progress. But until you make those newsrooms look like America, you're not going to have any significant change, and we're still a long way from that.
All right. In Maryland, that was George Curry, Editor-in-Chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association News Service. In Boston, Callie Crossley, social-cultural commentator on the television show Beat the Press. And in New York, Pedro Noguera, professor in the Steinhardt School of Education at New York University. Thank you all three for joining us.
Thank you.
Coming up, 3 months after Hurricane Katrina, we revisit a displaced grandmother now living in Tinseltown. And music historian Horace Clarence Boyer explores the spirit of gospel and the holiday season.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Their watching.